So in 1 John chapter 5 this morning, we're going to be looking at the first three verses together. And I want to focus on one particular phrase, but we're going to look at the whole passage together. Notice 1 John chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." So there's a phrase there in verse 2, or verse 3, "This is the love of God." And I did my research. That phrase is in the Bible one time. This is the love of God. So God's going to tell us what it is here in this passage, and it's also the title. So let's pray. I pray, Lord, that you would give us your presence, your power, your wisdom. Lord, that you'd use the word in each of our hearts as needed through this time. We thank you for the privilege to open your word together and join together here in fellowship around our Savior. And Lord, we just want to hear from you. So we open our hearts now. May we push aside the distractions of life and the world and just listen. And Lord, we pray that you would speak now through your word and your will would be done. We ask this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. You know, the world defines love one way and God defines love a different way, as we're going to see in this passage. You know, the world says love is all about feelings and it's all about emotions. God says that love is all about what we do. And we'll see that as we walk through this together this morning. But God starts off in the passage by reminding us why the Bible was written. The Bible was written so that we might know Jesus Christ is the Son of God, is God in the flesh. John also wrote the Gospel of John, and back in John chapter 20, verse 31, he says, "And these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." So that's why he wrote the Word, so that we might know Jesus as the answer, as the one who came to die for our sins. And this is the record that God gave to us. Notice down in verse 7 of chapter 5 here, he says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." And then down in verse 10, he says, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son." So twice we see that word record and witness. God wrote the Word of God to be a witness, to be a testimony to us about Jesus Christ. He finishes there in verse 11 by saying, "This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." And then in verse 12, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." So the Bible was written that we might know Jesus Christ. And I would hope that everyone in this room could say, "I know Jesus Christ as my Savior. I don't just know him as a person. I don't just know him as a concept. I know him personally. There's been a time in my life where I repented of my sin and I asked him to be my Savior, asked him to be my Lord and take me to heaven when I die." And that is who John is writing to in the book of 1 John. It's all written to believers. So it goes on to say there in verse 1, "And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him." So that word begat is saying, who begat us? God did. It's called the new birth. That's what Jesus meant when he said there in John 3, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." When we're born again, we're begotten into a new family. God's family. We were in the devil's family. And God says, everyone that loveth him that begat, everyone that loveth God, loveth him also that is begotten. So what God is saying is if we love God, then we love God's people. that the two go hand in hand. He's telling us you can't have one without the other. Now, if you look back in chapter 3, look at verse 14. God says this is one of the evidences of knowing that we're a Christian. 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. So God is saying one of the ways, one of the evidences of knowing that we're a Christian, knowing that God has begotten us into a new family, is He gives us a natural love for believers. And think back when you first got saved. How God put that love in your heart for fellow Christians. That's a natural occurrence for a believer. Now in 1 John 4:20, look back one chapter, he says, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. In other words, you cannot separate the two. You can't say, I love God and I hate God's child. God says it doesn't work. If you hate God's child, you don't love God. That's what he's saying. And so he goes on to say in our passages, 1 John 5:2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. Now, isn't that an interesting way for God to word that? By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. Now, remember what Jesus told us back in John 13. He said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. And then he went on to say, here in John 13, 35, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if ye have love one to another. He said, not by these, by this. By this one thing, the world's going to be able to tell you're my disciples. By the love. So it shouldn't be surprising that people aren't that interested in church. Because Christians aren't doing a fantastic job of loving one another like God commanded us to. But God finishes here in verse 3 by making this amazing statement. This is the love of God. Now think about what God is saying there. He's not saying this is a concept of the love of God or this is part of the love of God. He's saying this is the love of God. And look what he says. Not what we expect. That we keep His commandments. That's the love of God? That we keep His commandments? For a believer it is. For a believer, that's God's definition of the love of God, is obedience. Now, we would expect it to be a bunch of other things. You know, in a lot of churches, it's all about the entertainment and all about the excitement and the emotionalism. And people go to church and they get caught up in all the rock music and the entertainment, and they walk away and they feel different, they feel changed. Of course, you can get the same thing out of a rock concert, but they don't understand that. And then they walk away with all these feelings and saying, wow, I really loved God today. Because I felt something. But loving God isn't about our feelings. And it's not about our emotions. It's about our actions. It's about obedience. Now, Jesus said the same thing in John 14. Let's turn back there, please. The Gospel of John, chapter 14. And Jesus made this very clear when he was talking to his disciples there in that upper room, in defining love from God's perspective, from man to God. Notice what Jesus says here in John 14. Look, start in verse 15. Jesus said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Look at verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. over and over. Jesus equates love with obedience. Because love is not what we feel. Now, love affects our feelings because God gave us feelings and God gave us emotions, and it affects our emotions. But love is what we do. Think about what the Bible says about God's love for us. God so loved the world that He what? Gave. John 3:16, one of the most well-known verses of the Bible. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Then in putting it the other way around, in Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible says, husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. And the Bible says that the love of God was manifested to man through Calvary, through what God chose to do on our behalf. That's actually in 1 John. Let's turn there, chapter 4 and verse 9. You know, a lot of times you'll hear people question the love of God, and they'll say, how can a loving God do this and how can a loving God do that? The Bible tells us we can see the love of God. Not feel it necessarily, but see it. Verse 9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Verse 10, herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Isn't that something? So from God's perspective, the Bible says, herein is love, that God sent forth His only begotten Son. God loved us, and God showed that love through Calvary. And then God tells us here in 1 John chapter 5, herein is the love of God. Here now He's talking to us and our love for Him. And He says, herein is the love of God that we keep His commandments. And He goes on to say in verse 3, and His commandments are not grievous. If there are commandments of the Lord that bother us, that we have trouble obeying, that doesn't mean there's a problem with the commandment. It means there's a problem with our heart. Because they're not grievous. That word grievous meaning like heavy or hard to handle. And didn't Jesus tell us in Matthew 28 to take My yoke upon you? He says, for My burden is light. God's commandments are not grievous. Now we're sinners, and we have a tendency towards sin and disobedience and rebellion. But that has nothing to do with love. That has to do with our wickedness. If God's commandments are in any way grievous, then it's a problem with us. Because God says they aren't. Just like with children, they find security in boundaries. Right? We give them the do's and don'ts and the limits, and they find security in that. Now that they rebel against them, because they're sinners and they're rebellious, but they still find security in those boundaries. God's given us boundaries. They're called the commandments. And I'm not talking about Exodus chapter 20, the Ten Commandments. I'm talking about Jesus' commandments to us in the New Testament. He's given those to us because He made us. He knows what's best for us. He knows how we can best serve Him, how we can best enjoy life and be what He wants us to be. And He gave us the commandments to make it possible. Then we have a choice. We can love God or not love God. You see, God's been telling us in this passage, you can say, I love God all day long. But those are just words. Through your actions, you are telling God whether or not you love Him. That's what God is telling us. That when we are obeying God, we are saying, I love You. When we are disobeying God, we are saying, I do not love you. No matter what's coming out of our mouth, it's what we're doing that expresses our love or lack thereof for the Lord. So think about this truth this morning. I'm just going to quickly read through a few commandments of the Lord here in the New Testament. And these are just some samples, because there's plenty. But it gives us that responsibility to know the Bible and to know the commandments of the Lord if God is going to say that by keeping them, that is how we love Him, well, then we better know what they are. You know, we can't get to heaven one day and plead ignorance and say, oh, Lord, you know, I couldn't obey your commandments because I didn't know what they were. We don't have that excuse. They're right here. If we choose not to read them, that's on us. Now, before we look at these commandments, I just want to look at one other verse in John chapter 12 quickly. And I want us to be reminded this morning that Jesus made it very clear, and bring this all around full circle, that when we stand before God, it is the Word of God that will judge us. Notice John 12:48. Jesus says, He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him, the Word that I have spoken. The same shall judge him in the last day. The Word. It comes down to the Word. This is the love of God, that ye keep His commandments. So every time we obey God's command, we are saying, I love you. And every time we disobey God's command, we are saying, I don't love you. And that's how it works in God's program. It's not about what we say, it's about what we do. So as just in the Gospels, listen to some of the things Jesus said. Let your light so shine before men. If thou bring thy gift to the altar, remember that thy brother hath ought against thee. Leave there thy gift before the altar. Go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. That's in Matthew 5:23 and 24. Matthew 5:44. Love your enemies. Matthew 6:6. When thou prayest, enter into thy closet. Matthew 6:19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Matthew 9:38, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. Matthew 20:27, whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Matthew 22:39, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Matthew 28:19, be baptized. Mark 11:22, have faith in God. Mark 11:25, when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. Mark 16:15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Luke 6:31, as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. Matthew 9:23, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Luke 10:27, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Luke 12:15, take heed and beware of covetousness. Luke 14:23, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Luke 16:10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. Luke 17:32, remember Lot's wife. Luke 21:36, watch ye therefore and pray always. John 3:7, you must be born again. John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. John 15:4, abide in me. John 15:8, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. That's just a sampling from the four Gospels. God said, herein is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. Herein. This is the love of God, He said. And then we can move on to the rest of the New Testament. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed. Hebrews 10:25. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. And we could go on and on all morning. But what is God telling us? He's telling us that obedience and love are synonymous in God's definition of love. That's not the same with God, because God never disobeys and God never sins. So God's love is synonymous with what He does for us. Calvary. He talked in the Old Testament when He rescued them from Egypt, when He fed them in the desert, when He took them into the Promised Land. He kept saying, I love you. Here's my love. I'm taking care of you. I'm watching over you. I'm protecting you. I'm rescuing you. That's God's love. All the ways He blesses us and watches out for us. Our love is obedience. Obeying the simple commands of God's beautiful word. That is how we reveal our love for our Savior. Now, Jesus tried to get that across to the disciples there in the upper room. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, obey me. And then go to John 21, if you would, at the end of the Gospel of John. Jesus, after He arose from the dead, the disciples still didn't get it. And we know the story. The Apostle Peter, the leader of the band, said, I go a-fishing. Now, was that God's will? In that particular case, absolutely not. That was his old profession. That was Peter's way of saying, you know what, I'm pretty discouraged right now, guys, and I'm going fishing. And you know what the other disciples said? We go with thee. And they fished all night and caught nothing. We know the story. Jesus came, stood on the shore, told them to cast on the other side, and they brought in this big drought of fishes. But notice after all of this happened, and they sat down on the seashore, Jesus here in John 21, verse 15, when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? More than what? Some people think it was the fish. Some people think it was the other disciples. Either way, it doesn't matter. He's saying, do you love me more? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. If you love me, serve me. That's what he's saying. You can sit there, Peter, and say you love me, but I just caught you out fishing all night with the guys. That wasn't my will. And you caught nothing because it wasn't my will. And you notice, as soon as I told you where to cast, you had all these fishes. So I was trying to teach you a lesson. I need to be in it. If you love me, serve me. God is saying here in 1 John chapter 5, beyond if you love me, keep my commandments, He says, this is the love of God. It's not even an if and then statement. It's a direct declaration. This is the love of God, that you keep His commandments. I think it could do a lot for us if we would redefine that in our own minds, in our day-to-day walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe it's right to tell the Lord we love Him and to praise Him. We should do that all the time. But we need to take stock of our own lives and our own walk and be honest that when we are in disobedience, we are saying to God, I don't love you right now. And that when we are joyfully obeying His word because we love Him, we're so grateful for what He's done for us through Jesus Christ, we are saying through that obedience, I love you. And that's God's definition of the love of God, that we keep His commandments. It's amazing, amazing truth, isn't it? Now we just need to put it into practice.